So let's go to the, let's go here. So now, the Mendel. So now, we get, first thing we'll do, two quotes over here. And then, I'll make a small introduction. So here that we have the first quote, number one. The Rebbe is talking about the Neshama Lamaila. The way we understand the Neshama Lamaila is that what? Here, I may be in different Elikus. The way, when I'm here down here, I may choose to think about Elikus. I may choose to be indifferent. It depends on my Pchida. The Neshama Lamaila, of course, he only wants Elikus, right? It's naturally, he's one thing with the Eibishta. So look what the Rebbe says here. This is the way we always understand it. Yeah? And this way it was always understood. Comes the Rebbe here and says, look on line 2. The Shadish of the Neshama. The Shadish of the Neshama. What he wants in a course, Neshama Lamaila, when he wants in a course, it's Bederek Mamela without any Bechira. This is a quote coming from Kveid Malchus Tofri Samach, from the Rebbe Rashab. The Neshama Lamaila wants in a course, Bederek Mamela without any Bechira. It makes a very lot of sense, right? So where is the Bechira by a person? Where the Bechira? Not in the Neshama above. The Bechira is, you see on line 1, in the Koichas here, when the Neshama comes out down into this body and has Seichel and Midas, so that's when the Bechira comes active. But where is the Bechira? It's in above, there's no Bechira. In above, there's no Bechira. It's just natural. Wonderful. Look at the Rebbe's continuing line 3. The Rebbe says, but from other places in Chassidus, it's understood. What is understood? Now, the Rebbe is saying from other places in the Chassidus, I just want to understand, the Rebbe is saying these other places is the way the Rebbe sees it in these other places, not that we ever saw it in these other places. It's what the Rebbe is telling us, what he sees in all these other places. What do the Rebbe see in these other places? That also the Neshama has, Lamaila has Bechira. And there, it has a Mitis in Yina Bechira. What is the Rebbe saying here? The Rebbe is telling us here, That what we assume that Neshama Lamaila naturally cleaves onto Elokus is not really so. No, the Neshama chooses voluntarily to have a Shaykhus to Elokus. So the Shaykhus of the Neshama.
The Neshama above sees Elokus, therefore it chooses.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh, the question is wonderful. Let's stay with the question, but let's see what the Rebbe is saying here. The Neshama Lamaila said that Rebbe, the fact that it cleaves to Elokus, that doesn't have many meaning. That's not the Maila of the Neshama. The Maila of the Neshama is that it, as independent Metzias, chooses to cleave to Elokus. And it's very hard to understand. The Chedesh Shama sees Elokus. So the truth is, it's, I don't know if it's really hard to understand. I don't know if we should go into it so much now. I just want to bring out that what we assume that the Neshama cleaves naturally to Elokus, the Rebbe does not give that too much importance. What the Rebbe sees, the main koich of the Neshama, the Neshama chooses independently as an independent mitzvah from its own choice, it chooses voluntarily to have a shaykhus to Elokus. Let's not try to explain it, just want to say this one fact here. Now, take the same thing having this maimer here, quote number 2. He's not talking about the Neshama above, he's talking about the person here below. So now we've all learned the Tanya, then when we come to, and his son in Aveda Zora, so every Yid is going to give up his life for Aveda Zora, but not to serve Aveda Zora, right? Mysterious Nefesh. So how do we understand Tanya? That when your Yid of the Neshama kicks in, we realize all of a sudden I'm going to lose my Shaykhus to Yiddishkeit, I'm going to disidentify myself with Yiddishkeit, I'm going to bow down to Aveda Zora, so therefore I will give away with my life. Yechidah comes in, and I naturally don't want to have any shaykhus, I'll give up my life. So look at what the Rebbe says over here, on line 12 to 13, the Rebbe says that this, because Bechira, this is the yisod, the Rebbe is saying, Bechira is the yisod, that's in line 10, he brings from the Rambam. Bechira is the yisod of Aveda Hashem, and therefore, when the Nisei Yechide shines into the person, and therefore the person gives up the life not to serve Avodah Zarah, it means that the Yechide chooses B'Bchire voluntarily not to serve Avodah Zarah. There is, when you're talking about the Shleimus of the Achdus with the Eibishter, this is what the point is. Shleimus of the Achdus with the Eibishter is not that you naturally are dovok to the Eibishter, No, you independently, as a, the shleimus ha'achdus, the shleimus ha'bitul to the Eibishter is that we, me as an exist and a dependent metzias, choose from our own mechira to have a shaychus. And therefore, well, according to the Rebbe saying, telling us, and I hope you see the big, very big difference from what we understood, what we understood all along. The way we understood it, this is what happens now. The way we understood always our shaychus ha'lakus, so we have a Seder Shtalshelus. Up there, the Eibishter. We're here down here. The closer we get to the Eibishter, the more we lose our mitzvahs, right? And the more we come to feel that the Eibishter is everything, right? So therefore, the closer we get to the Eibishter, naturally we cleave unto the Eibishter, right? That is the way we always understood it. Well, the Rebbe is telling us now, and this it goes everywhere, because you're going to see it in everything we're going to say further. And this is the closest hanocha of the Rebbe, which is poshut in the gate to our Veda, that it doesn't really work that way. It's not that way. No. The way it works is, there's two parallels. What are the two parallels? There's me, my mitzvahs, Apostle Adam, and there's the Eibishter. Going closer to the Eibishter doesn't mean that I give up my mitzvahs. No, it doesn't work that way. Going closer to the Eibishter means as me, as independent mitzvahs, choose to identify with myself with the Eibishter. So the closer I get, the higher I get in the Shtalshelus, my mitzvahs is not going away. The same thing we're going to have now in the next piece, another topic about Nisim and Flores. You're going to have the same mahalach that I was saying. When we talk about the Gid of the Eibishter, down here, the Gil of the Eibishter. So the way we could understand it is that the Eibishter there, he's above, ain't it about it. Comes down here, the oil comes down, it comes through all the Tzumim, etc., etc., etc. So it begins to recognize this is the Metzias of Eilam Hazeh Agashmi, of Metzias of Briah, which there they don't recognize Eibishter so much. And so the oil coming down from the Eibishter will give room for this Mitzias Hayesh of Olam Hazeh. It gives room for Mitzias Hayesh. We're coming close to Atzmus, no, the Mitzias of Olam Hazeh has no value at all. It comes down the oil, it gives room for Mitzias Hayesh. So it's not the way it works. You're going to see the Rebbe says, no, it's not the way it works. The room for Mitzias Hayesh starts all the way up there, by Atzmus. And it comes down, for whatever the purpose is, it focuses more on the Mitzvah Hayesh of Olam Hazeh. Up there, it doesn't focus so much on the Mitzvah Hayesh, and here it does focus so more on the Mitzvah Hayesh. I just want to understand what's going on over here. The way it is, always, we see ourselves, there's us and the Eibishter. The closer we get to the Eibishter, the less we get. The more the Likus comes down to us, the smaller the Likus comes, and more the Yesh comes, right? So it's either us or the Eibishter. The way the Rebbe is telling us now here, and all the other things that the Rebbe tells us everywhere actually, it does not really work like that. No. There is we and the Eibishter. What are the word? Shutvim. The Rebbe uses the word shutvim. What is the idea of shutvim? That we are, it is our Metzias, and it is the Eibishter Metzias. Why? This went through this many times. Why did the Rebbe say this is our Metzias? Why is it so important? Because the Eibishter said that he created us, that means that we are Metzias. Poshut, it says in the Torah, so okay. So there's us and the Eibishter. So there's two mitzvahs in here. But that's what it says in the Torah.
Well, that's us. From
so therefore, there is us. When we come closer to the Eibishter, we choose to recognize more the Eibishter. When we're here, we may sort of fail to choose so. But never means that we disappear and we naturally come associated with the Eibishter. It does not really work that way. The same thing in the other end. The Eibishter up there recognizes our Metzias. There is always, by the Eibishter, there is a Metzias of Eilam Hazeh. The more the oil comes down, the more the oil occupies itself with the Metzias of Eilam Hazeh. But not that the Metzias of Eilam Hazeh is not by the Lebed Eibishter.
Einam Yavadeh, it's pleasant, Tanya. There is no Metzias.
So now, what does the Einam Yavadeh tell us? Not that there is nothing else beside the Eibishter. That this something else also was created by the Eibishter. Not that there's something else. It's a big difference. If you're saying that something else is not there, when it comes, that's what are the difference? When it comes to the end of your emotion, what is it? We'll come right now explain the very difference. It makes a very big difference. What the Rebbe is doing here is taking the whole of Teiras Hasidus and putting it in the mindset of the Ben Chomish Lemikra. This is what's happening here. You have a Ben Chomish Lemikra. What does the Ben Chomish Lemikra know? Ben Chomish Lemikra knows that what? That the Teira says, if you do what the Teira says, if you listen to the Teira, then you are going to get rewarded. That's what it says in the Teira.
Right.
So what did the Ben Chomish Lemikra envision? Now, this is the Nekuda here. The Rebbe is staying now with Ben Chomish Lemikra and is not moving away. He's taking the whole of Chassidus and is taking now, putting all into this framework of the Ben Chomish Lemikra. So he knows it says in the Torah, when I do what the Torah says, I'm going to get rewarded. Fine. What, according to the Ben Chomish Lemikra, what's the difference between today and Zman HaGula? So now, Ben Chomish Lemikra, the difference in Golas, the difference from Golas and Gula by the Ben Chomish Lemikra is, that now, I don't always see the effect of my Torah mitzvahs of the world, because in Zman HaGolos, you can't keep all the Torah mitzvahs, the goyim don't hurt you. So I don't see the always effect. Because I don't see always effect, I may sometimes choose not to do what the Ebishter wants. Right? If I see that every time I do a mitzvah, I get rewarded, I'm obviously going to do what the Ebishter wants. In your Mitzvah Mashiach, we'll be able to do all the Torah mitzvahs. So we will continuously be seeing the reward. So therefore, at that point, I'm only going to do what the Ebishter wants. Right? So what does Ben Chomish Lemikra know? Ben Chomish Lemikra knows that the Ebishter gave him the Torah. The Ebishter recognizes him. I'm a Metzias. Ben Chomish Lemikra doesn't know that he's not a Metzias. No, he's a Metzias. And there's a Metzias of the Ebishter. There's two Shutfim. What is going to happen in Yemei Mashiach? Ben Chomish Lemikra knows that he is going to be doing everything what the Ebishter wants. He's going to be a Metzias. And there's an Ebishter who he's going to recognize. But what now the Ben Chomish Lemikra realizes that now he thinks sometimes he may not listen to the Ebishter. When Mashiach comes, he's going to realize how everything he does has such a big effect on bringing the reward that he is not going to occur to him to do anything about the Ebishter. He's going to realize that everything he accomplishes is all being orchestrated by the Ebishter. The Ebishter is leading his life. The Ebishter is giving him all this good. So therefore, he's going to be completely enveloped with the appreciation for the Ebishter. He's not going to do anything against the Ebishter. But he doesn't go away. He always stays there. So now, when you say the Inyan of Eid Vavadei, now let's go back to Chassidus. Chassidus says, Eid Vavadei, we're going to come fully bottled. Okay, the Rebbe's taking this Inyan of Eid Vavadei, we're coming fully bottled, and the Rebbe's put it now into this framework of the Ben Chomish Lemikra. What does it mean, going to come fully bottled? When I do Torah mitzvahs and see how all the Torah mitzvahs bring me reward, of course, I'm only going to do what the Ebishter wants. What is my mitzvahs? My accomplishments when I do things, I do work. It's very little. It's all the Ebishter doing. It's very little. He sees how it works. And Olam Hazeh, his mitzvahs is very little. But I'm never going away. So now you have the Inyan of Ein Eid Vavadei, the Shleimus of Scholars of Ein Eid Vavadei, in this understanding of Ben Chomish Lemikra, that what is it? His mitzvahs always stays. And the Ebishter wreck. He was always there. There's no, like, I'm here. And at one point, the Moisim Sheikh, the way we could understand it always, we're learning Chassidus, is that where I'm currently here, what's going to happen with Moisim Sheikh, when we come to the Shlemus of Moisim Sheikh, one day I'm going to be bottled by Mitzias. But Ben Chomish Lemikra doesn't know that. He's always going to be here. He just realized I'm going to give all the value to the Ebishter, because I'm going to see how the Ebishter is leading my life. So therefore, the Rebbe has taken this whole thing and put it now into the framework of the Ben Chomish Lemikra. So once you put it in the framework of the Ben Chomish Lemikra, what do you have? You have this one Metzias. You have two Shutim. You have the Ebishter. The Ebishter recognizes the Metzias of the world. Can he make it? So the Ebishter always recognizes. There's nowhere that Jesus, from the very beginning, the Ebishter recognizes he made the world. And then also, we down here are always going to recognize ourselves as a Matthias. We're just going to come to give more value to the Abishta, to the fact that there's an Abishta. So that's how, this is more or less how it works. I don't know how well I explain myself, but this is, okay. So now this helps us understand why the Rebbe is saying here that the Neshome Lamaila has Bchira. Because there's no such a thing as we disappear. The only thing that happens is, like the Ben Chomish Lemikra understands. What is it? That when I see how the Ebishter is affecting my life, I'm automatically going to choose what to do with the Ebishter wants. Okay, there's more to that and deeper to that, but this is an akudah. My metzias never goes away. So what are the shleimus the shleimus hadveikus in elikus that I voluntarily choose on my own accord, my own initiative to have a shaykh to the Eibishter, not that I automatically, naturally choose. There's no such thing as natural. It's all done by me. Say them. Okay, so now, based on that, we'll go further. Where we want to get to. So this is actually line 15. So here you have, now, here we have, what is, now, something which we keep on learning, the Rebbe's Mamarim, and Sikhas, everyone, we always heard about it. What do you hear? The Gvul, Teva, and Nes come together. Gvul and Bligvul come together, right? Something, you know, the Nes and Teva come together. So I just want to show, this is here, one of the very early Sikhas. I just want to show you how the Rebbe says it. Look in line 21 to 23. The Rebbe says here that a Nes is not, one second. The Nes does not only mevatel the Teva, but if you look in line 21, it says, in the Nes, the Nes has in it a quality of Teva. You see that? And therefore, the Rebbe says, because of the Nes has a quality of Teva, when the Nes affects the Teva, it raises the Teva. So I just want to explain you what's going on over here. The way it always works is, right, based on the same thing we just said before, the lower you get, the more Elam Hazar gets a Matthias. The higher you get, the more Elam Hazar disappears. This is the way we always understand. Right. What the Rebbe is telling us here, no, it doesn't really work that way. Elam Hazar is always a Matthias. So therefore,
Chelik Yudzayim.
What? Chelik Yudzayim. That's Chelik Yudzayim doing right now. Lines 21 to 22. 22.
It's not like Nanalef.
No. So this goes. This is one of the very earliest sikhs where the Rebbe says it. Now the Rebbe explains it many in all the sikhs later on. The Rebbe keeps on explaining this, but here it's in one of the very early sikhs.
Mm-hmm.
So here the Rebbe says that the Nes has in it a quality of Teva. I just want to explain what that means. That means to say, the way we usually understand it, when the Nes comes, the Teva disappears. The whole mitzvah of Teva is, because the Nes is not there. Just like the way we normally understand our Yeshes. Our Yeshes is not there. The moment the Kus comes in, our Yeshes disappears. Mm-hmm. Come to Rebbe says, no, our Yeshes does not disappear. We just come to realize our Yeshes is created by the Eibishter. So the same way, the way we would normally understand it, more or less, that when the Nes comes in, the Teva will disappear. So therefore, the Rebbe is telling us here, it's not that way. No, the Nes itself has in it a value of Teva. We'll soon see what this means. And therefore, when the Nes comes and affects the Teva, what is happening? It's not erasing the Teva, for the Nes has in itself Teva. What it does, it's actually not erasing the Teva, it's actually raising the Teva. Why? Because Nes does not disqualify Teva. Nes recognizes Teva. Just sometimes the Teva, when there's no Nes, the Teva can be very mundane. When the Nes comes in, it raises a Teva that we should realize the Teva is also with the Eibishter. But it doesn't erase the Teva. It doesn't erase the Teva. Okay. That is what it says over here. And I take the next page. Let's go over to the next page. On the next page, on the very top.
Thank you for the time that I
learned. Zeta. So now, on line one and two. Look, here we have the next thing. Here we have the next point. The Rebbe is explaining here, when the Eid Sof is Meir in Teva, so it's not Pshat that the Eid of Ligvul of Teva is so great, the way you could understand it, that the Eid of Ligvul is Teva's of Nes is so great that it can permeate even into Gvul and into Teva and affect the Teva. Why? Because Eid of Ligvul is so great that it can permeate into Teva. So the Rebbe says, that's not what it is. What it is, that is what? So now I forgot. When it comes to Teva, because the Teva is not a distinct reality from the Ness. The Ness, what the Rebbe is telling us again, so this is the way we're coming to the same thing. There's no thing, again, we have to take the same thing. There's no thing that's like one long ladder, the Eibush is on the top and we're the bottom. The more the Eibush, the less we. The more Elam Hazah, the more the Eibush, the less Elam Hazah. The more Elam Hazah, the less Elikos, Chas V'Shalom, right? It's not the way it works. So this is the Rebbe telling us, it's not so. If we would say that when there's more Eibush, the less Elam Hazah, what would happen when the Oyra Bivul comes into Teva? It sort of overrides the Teva, right? Overrides the Teva. Why? The Oyra Bivul, the Ibsha coming in, the Nes, so it overrides the Teva. The Teva loses its quality. You have Nisim going on. What significance does the Teva have? No. If Teva is a Metzias over here, then it's a Metzias by the Ibsha also. So the Oyra Bivul comes down, it recognizes the Metzias of Teva. What is happening with the Oyra Bligvul affects the Teva? It's just bringing out some additional depth to the Teva. The Teva should come to realize more of the Oyra Bligvul, but the Teva is never going to lose itself. It's not losing itself. So this is what the Rebbe is saying over here. And therefore, the Rebbe is telling us that the Inyan, so let's take it to the best example, would be Yomayis Mashiach. When Yomayis Mashiach, we're going to have Nisim Gluim. The Teva never will disappear. Why? Because there's no such a thing as me disappearing, as Teva disappearing, or the world disappearing. The way we would understand the Gilui Likus, when we have Gilui Likus, we disappear, that would have been understanding what we could have understood once upon a time. That understanding is not the way it works. No, this world always will stay, this Teva always stays, and therefore the Nes, as it comes down from above, the Bligvul recognizes the Teva, recognizes the Gvul, and therefore when it comes here, all it does, it brings more depth, more dimension, more color to the Gvul. It raises the Gvul. The Gvul comes smarter, comes to recognize more of the Eibushter. But the Gvul is not something which loses its identity when the Bligvul comes in. Right? So therefore, what's going to happen in Moshe Mashiach? The Teva is going to be functioning. Now, this is very important. Why this is very important? Because the Nekudah is that we, as a Mois and Mashiach, never have to go away from the reality of life that we're currently living in. Because it's all going to be the same reality. Yeah? And with this, we understand why the Rebbe makes such a Maisa with the whole thing of, with the happened then in the Saddam. So, are you ready? Should we go further here? Seder. So now, here it goes. Let's go to the next thing. Here we have this quote, we had it many times. Now, what does the Rebbe say here? That the Goyla never goes away. The Goyla, it will always be the first letter of the word. The word is always going to be Goyla, the gimbal of Goyla. The Aleph, which we're going to bring into Goyla, is just going to be in the center of the word. It's not going to be the Aleph doesn't come the first word. That means the Metzias, our Metzias,
remains.
We're just going to recognize something deeper, which we haven't recognized till then. Okay. That's number two. Let's go to number three. Here, number three, the Rebbe is telling us the same thing what the Rebbe says here about Golos and Gula. Here, number three, the Rebbe said things about the same thing. He's going to say the same thing about Nes and Teva. Here, the Rebbe says that the Teda starts with Bereshis. That is Teva. The Gula is a Chodesh. Chodesh Zerachem. When the Mashiach is going to come, what is going to be the Ikra Mitzvahs? The Rebbe explains, the Sheikh Mitzvahs is going to be a Chodesh. Teda Mitzvahs, a Chodesh. Hanoga of the Mailemeta. So that makes sense. This is what we always know. Mashiach is going to come. It's going to be everything in the Mailemeta. Here comes the Rebbe and explains that this, the Milam and the Teva, is in HaChodesh. Where did this Torah start from? Bereshis. Why did the Torah start from Bereshis? Because the whole Inyan is that this, the Milam and the Teva, should affect the world as an independent Metzias. If the Torah would not start from Bereshis, it would start from HaChodesh, then the Bereshis, the Teva, would be secondary to HaChodesh. The Torah wants Bereshis not to be secondary, but to be independent Metzias. And therefore, So the Bereshit is independent of Metzias, and a Chodesh has to affect Bereshit as Bereshit is an independent of Metzias. What do they mean, have to affect Bereshit as it is an independent of Metzias? That Bereshit, Teva, on its own accord, without losing its Metzias, its existence, its own identification with itself, should come to recognize a Chodesh. So this Bereshit is an independent of Metzias, is going to be affected by a Chodesh. Now let me ask you, when Mashiach is going to come, is Bereshit still going to be the beginning of the Torah or not? Or maybe will it change?
No, okay.
So what is going to be? Bereshit is always going to be independent of Metzias. The whole Metzias of a Chodesh is going to affect Bereshit as an independent Metzias, but Bereshit is always going to be independent of Metzias. So what do we see here? The Hanhogas HaTeva, the Hogas HaNes is going to come into our life in Yom Mashiach. What is going to be happening then? Our Metzias will still remain, the beginning of the Torah is going to be Bereshit. So Teva is going to remain the Metzias that it is. It's just going to come to recognize on its own accord, from its own accord, it's going to come to recognize the HaChodesh. So HaChodesh is always going to be the Pnimius, it's always second, first is Bereshit. But the Bereshit will come to recognize that what is the ik is Torah mitzvahs, the ik is achodes, the ik is anhoganesis. So the world will also come to recognize it. But where is it coming from? This recognition will be coming from the world, and the seeds of the world will never be going away. Yeah? Fine. Very good. Now you're going to have the same thing. This is falls in the same line, what we said before, that Gula is just the Aleph entering into the middle of Goyla, not taking over the Goyla. Right? Very good. Now we have the same thing on line 4, but this is the Sikha Pashas Tzav, which the Rebbe is speaking now by Melchemes and Mifritz. So now let's go over to the next page. We'll go down all the way now to line 9. So here the Rebbe is talking about, here the Rebbe explains that this. The Rebbe says, this is Kapitel Tzadik. So the Rebbe says, Tzadi means a Tzad. Why? A Tzadi is a Tzad. I have it's two sides.
Tzadi is my side.
So the Rebbe explains, why is a Yid considered to be one side? Why a Yid only a side? The whole world was created by Yidin. So we should be everything. We shouldn't only be one side. So Rebbe explains, no, Mefedish not. The way the Ebishter made it is that we are only one side. And he made another side. And what is the other side? The Metzitz of Elam Hadeh, the opportunity to go against Ebishter. That is another side. The Metzitz of Goyim, there's a whole other side. And what are we? We're only one side. And we have the koyach. Now there's two sides. There's a world in us. How are we going to bring the Gilui HaKudesh in this world? We're going to have to choose being on the same seats in the world of the Goy and having the same interest in many ways as the Goy. We're going to have to choose and now affect the whole world with Torah mitzvahs. So now it's with two sides, and we are going to have to try and affect the other side with our koyach habchira. So if it comes without that, we have a choice over here. We have a choice of two sides. This is the whole of the word. And lines 11 to 12. There's two sides here. There's a goyish side, the yiddish side. We have a choice, and we're going to have to choose to affect. We can follow this side or follow that side. We're going to have to choose to affect the whole world with our side. Now, what is going to eventually happen at the very, very end? When we try to bring Mashiach and we accomplish everything. So the Rebbe explains on line 18 and 19, that our side will have affected everybody. Will have affected everybody with such influence that no one will ever occur to do different than us. So what is going to happen when Yom Mashiach comes? Our side, we come everything, or we still remaining aside? So it's very clearly here from 18 and 19, we're still remaining aside. We are one side, we're always tzadi. Just we're so successful in affecting the other side that the whole world will follow with us. So this is very similar to what we said before about the neshama, the dvekas of the neshama in Elokus. It's not a natural dvekas, the neshama naturally cleaves to Elokus. The neshama chooses to cleave to Elokus. It chooses with such strong will that it's never, the neshama up there will never go against the Eibishter. But it's all coming from the neshama itself. So what you have over here is that there's two sides, and in your Mitzvah Mashiach, there's also going to be the other existence. Just, there's also going to be the Teva, or there's going to be the Matthias of Golas. It's just that we are going to be able to affect the Golas, but that the Teva and the Golas never disappears. And that is what's your Mitzvah Mashiach, right? So now, let's go to line 5. We have the same thing. We hear that Rebbe spells out more, which is not, I couldn't bring the whole quote because it's very long over there. Mm-hmm. The Rebbe says some such a thing like this, that there's Choshech, they've created Choshech. So the Rebbe says, Choshech never ends. Choshech is Bli Gvul. What does it mean to Choshech Bli Gvul? What does Choshech mean to Bli Gvul? So the Rebbe explains it over there. The Rebbe says you can shower Choshech with oil. And the Choshech can always refuse not to recognize the oil. What does that mean simply? That would mean to us that we can be shown Gilei Elokus, that a Rebbein can give us Gilei Elokus, and we can always choose not to recognize the Gilei Elokus. So therefore, the Rebbe said, what do you mean to recognize?
Choshech disappears? So
it's a good question. So I don't remember the whole mimer there, but the Rebbe explained to you that the Choshech always can, there's no end to Choshech. What is the example? The example is like this. I told you once, I had this recently. Someone sent me a video, group of scientists. They say that after they make many years of experiments, the biggest laboratory in the world. The biggest laboratory in the world, they came up with this about a year and a half ago, something like that. They proved there must be an Eibishter. Why? Because they have all the different, different things, the fact that all the different components of the atoms, how they're all working in coordination. He says, Pasha, there's no seichel behind it. And so, logically speaking, everything should have fallen apart billions of years ago, whatever. And the fact the world existing, there's no way to understand it at all. It's such a slim chance. It's unbelievable what they say. So, there must be an Eibishter. So now, someone else came up and told me some other similar theory, which also say there must be a Hashem. There came a certain scientist and says, no, you haven't proven anything at all. Why? You've only proven that we don't know certain things. You haven't proven the Eibishter. So once upon a time, if you don't know the answer, it means you have to take another choice. So now you're giving it up to no. Stay with my opinion. I don't know the answer. So what's happening is this is an akuda that you can try and shower oil however much you want. The Choshech, remember, there's always room for more opportunity. So let's have someone, once upon a time, this is the other example we had then. So now, so what happens is, we had this other example. But once upon a time, the way how much in the time of the Rambam, how did they manage to get people to come close to the Eibishter? They explained them how they proved them with logic how there must be an Eibishter. So what happened was, they affected those people then in those days. They should come to recognize the Eibishter more. The Rambam wrote, Mayun Avuchim, you have all these Sifra Chakira. What happens now? If you go and prove to someone, the Rebbe used to say, don't prove, because it doesn't really help too much. If you prove someone that's an Eibishter, like these scientists did, what does it affect? It doesn't really have any effect at all. Why? When a person sat in the village there in many years ago in Europe, he sat there, he only in his life had only so much knowledge, so much facts. So you told him a proof. Okay, it was amazing. Okay, that's it. And nowadays, you can prove today, tomorrow. Someone will come up tomorrow with some other theory and disprove. Okay, so nowadays, there's endless opportunity. Because there's endless opportunity, you can always choose not to recognize the oil. So this is this Choshech is Bli Gvul. This is what Rebbe is telling us. Says the Rebbe that never, what did Eibishter do? He had to put a ketz to the Choshech. He had to put the ketz. And Rebbe explains over here, what is the ketz? That the ketz is that the tachten, the Choshech itself, on its own accord, should come to recognize the oil. If you're going to shower the Choshech with oil, the Choshech can always choose to ignore it. There at a certain point, the Choshech is going to choose to recognize the oil. And that's what the Eibishter inserted in the world. Now, what do they mean when we say the Eibishter inserted in the world, that the Choshech on its own accord should come to recognize the oil? It means very simply, what happens in our days, when people do tshuva today, why are they doing tshuva? The person doing tshuva because you have logically proven to him that there's an Eibishter? No, not the reason why the person is doing tshuva. Comes a point, the person realizes, like this scientist who said this, that maybe there is no Eibishter, we just don't know how things are working. He's going to one day tell himself, why do I have to continuously ignore the Eibishter? It'll be better for myself, my wife, my children, my family, my dog. I don't know, whatever. Life will work better with the Eibishter. So the one point, we, from our own choice, come to realize it's better. If you want to allow the Choshech to continue, you can continue Lo'olam Vo'ed. We, from our own choice, are going to come to say, why do I have to ignore the Eibishter? Life works better. And this is the way how today, nowadays, we move forward with our Avodah, getting closer to the Eibishter, because we realize Poshet, it makes our life better. This is the way it works. So this is the Inyan. The Rebbe said the Eibishter inserted in the Choshech, the Choshech on its own accord, should come to recognize the Oy. So what do we have from all of this? That the Choshech, the other side, never disappears, and therefore the Choshech could always remain. What is going to bring any change is the Pchida of the we as one side affecting the other side. Which, what does it mean? That we choose to do it the right, it's coming from us. It's nothing coming from outside of us. Remember, if you say that this is up there, there's no, our Metzius is not there, and down here, as our Metzius is here. So as we get closer to go high to the Eibishter, we automatically get more attached to the Eibishter. Now the Rebbe is telling us nothing works that way. It's always coming from us, because even up there we just choose. So it's, everything is actually dependent on us. Now it's dependent on us. It's Yom Shikh dependent on us. It's all dependent on us. It's all coming from within us. So now, based on this, we'll come to answer this question more or less about the with the Saddam, with this thing. So now let's go to the next sikha. Here the Rebbe is talking about, and the same sikha before, about the tzadi, the tzad. Mm-hmm. So here the Rebbe says that there is what the Eibishter created, and then there's what a person does. What are the two things? The Eibishter created the world with hell and behesta. But nevertheless, the Eibishter didn't tell a person to go against the Eibishter. To go against it. That is something the person goes against the Eibishter. That is something what a person does on his own accord. Right? Mm-hmm. So the Rebbe says here that when it comes here, going to line 34. Why? Oh, let's get this. Just one more point. Why did the Eibishter give a person the opportunity to go against the Eibishter and to not follow the plan? In order that the person should then be a shutev. As long as he's just following everything what the Eibishter said, he's not a full active shutev. The moment the person digresses from the plan of the Eibishter, and then he has to now, he's already gone away from the Eibishter's plan, and he has to now change things, so now it's his involvement changing it, because he's not following the plan. He already digressed from the plan. So now whatever he does to come closer to fix what he did, is actually coming from himself, right? So he comes, this way he comes an equal partner with the Eibishter. He comes a creative partner with a, it's following the same thing with two, okay. Now here comes the Rebbe says on third line 34 to 37. He is talking about the Makim Mitzrayim B'Chareim, the Makis of Shabbos HaGolim. So remember, everything the Rebbe is talking there about the Ness of Mechemes and Mifritz is all around, the Rebbe is all around the Shabbos HaGolim. So here the Rebbe is explaining, here's the Rebbe is doing it again. He's explaining about Shabbos HaGolim. He says, the Makim Mitzrayim B'Chareim was not something which affected the Yidden. It was the Bukharis between themselves, right? Didn't have any too much significance on the Yidden. The Bukharis were not, Bukharim were not the one who allowed the Yidden to go out. It was Pare. So whatever they did didn't really have too much effect. The whole thing was, it's just the Bukharim had a war between their, the Mitzrayim had a war between themselves, which had no real effect on the Yidden. Didn't help them in any way. So now, the Rebbe says it in many places, didn't really help the Yidden at all. What happened was, these Mitzrim, who were the negative element, they went and had a fight within themselves in favor of the Yidden. So the Rebbe said, that is not a Ness which affected the Yidden. And look in line 36, it's highlighted in heavy highlight. That is not a Ness that was done by the Eibishter. What does it mean? This is the answer to everything. The Eibishter did not show himself over here. When you have a Ness, any Ness which is above the nature, you see another factor working. You see the Eibishter. Here the Rebbe is talking about, we're only one side, and you have the gates is giving you the opportunity to cross the boundary, go onto the other side, that's a kuf. The kuf, there's tzadi, one side, and then there's tzadik, which is a kuf, which means you protrude into the negative side. So now, here, what happens is, a person had the ability to protrude to go over to the negative side. When the Mitzrayim were the negative side, they were opponents to the Yidden. So here, what happened was, so again, there's nothing here, but all the other makas help the Yidden in some way, whatever it helped, you saw the Eibishter, the involvement of the Eibishter. Here, it's a natural thing, the Mitzrayim are fighting between themselves. That's it. So what is that? So there's no involvement of the Eibishter here. But what is Zia here? Something else. What is it? The world is going according to the program. Okay. The world is going according to the program. That is...
That's on its own.
That is the... Doesn't have to be... Now, this doesn't have to be a nest. It can be Teva. The moment the world goes according to the program, you don't need the nest anymore.
That is the nest itself.
You don't... So one second. The moment the world goes according to the program, you don't need the nest anymore. So now let's just take it to our... Now, and then the Rebbe says... Because the world went according to the program. And like we said before, that the Rebbe says this is not even a nest. Therefore, it comes the biggest nest. It's a nest godel. Why? It's a nest godel because the world is going according to the program. And you go to the next page, on the cover of the next page, you see, the Rebbe says this nest makes Shabbos to come Shabbos a godel. And the Rebbe says Shabbos is related to the gula. This nest brings godless to the gula. Which nest? Not Dam Tzavadeya, none of it, not Kriyas Yamsuf. This nest, which is actually no nest at all, it's just a nest, the Teva's working according to the world, that brings godless to the Gula. Brings godless to the Gula, it brings.
So we do consider it a nest because...
Why? Now, so now let's put it in better words. The moment, let's have it better. Torah mitzvahs